and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The endorsement is in. Vice President Harris has just gotten the official thumbs up from the Obamas, who were considered the last big holdouts for the likely Democratic presidential nominee.
Kamala!
Hi!
Hey there!
A video shows the vice president accepting a phone call from the former president and first lady.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
Yesterday, Harris met with the Israeli prime minister. Today, Benjamin Netanyahu meets with Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump.
The meeting will take place at the former president's home at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, their first face-to-face since Trump was in the White House. As prime minister and president, the two men developed a close relationship, but Trump soured on Netanyahu, and he was the first world leader to personally congratulate President Biden on his 2020 victory. Trump said yesterday that Israel must quickly end the war with Hamas. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
A travel disaster ahead of tonight's opening ceremonies at the Olympics in Paris. France's high-speed rail network has been hit with arson attacks, paralyzing travel to the games across Europe. And if that's not enough,
it's raining in Paris, and the weather service says it will rain again tonight for the duration of the outdoor opening ceremony along the Seine River. The rain also increases doubts about the swimming events planned for the Seine. When it rains heavily, wastewater and runoff from upstream flood into the river, making it unsafe.
CBS's Elaine Cobb from Paris. California's largest wildfire this year has now doubled in size with disastrous results. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is north of San Francisco, Sacramento.
More than a dozen homes charred down to their foundation. 1,100 firefighters are now battling this blaze, and for good reason. We're just 14 miles away from the town of Paradise, which was destroyed by fire in 2018.
Officials in Chico have arrested a man they say started those flames by pushing a burning car down a gully. Attorney General Merrick Garland's announced the arrest of two Mexican drug kingpins in El Paso, Texas. One of them, El Chapo's son, and the Sinaloa cartel's Ismael Zambada Garcia. The FBI says it's taking a closer look at whether former President Trump was hit by a bullet or debris during the assassination attempt. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Trump called for the FBI director's resignation after Christopher Wray raised that question about the bullet. The FBI, in a statement to CBS News, says it is devoting enormous resources to learning everything possible about the shooter.
S&P futures up 40. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are tied in Wisconsin in the first poll here since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson poll has Trump and Harris deadlocked at 47% in a head-to-head matchup. Emerson finds Senator Tammy Baldwin leading Eric Hovde 49-43. Wisconsin is investing in its rural agricultural roads. James Kelly reports.
The funding is part of the first round of awards through the Agriculture Roads Improvement Program, which will provide nearly $50 million for rural road projects across the state.
It's James Kelly reporting. The spending will support 37 projects across 28 Wisconsin counties. The projects are aimed at helping Wisconsin's agricultural industries by boosting infrastructure critical to moving products, crops, and livestock. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series tonight against the Marlins. The Marlins have just added former All-Star Randy Arozarena following a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. Meanwhile, it appears that Christian Yelich has opted for rest and rehab rather than undergo season-ending back surgery. The 32-year-old Yelich is on the IL for a second time this season with back problems. Yesterday, at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., the Padres let right-hander Dylan Cease finish the game with 114 pitches and just three walks on the Padres radio network.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter.
The Padres won 3-0. NFL training camp. The Packers now practicing in pads today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Meanwhile, Jordan Love contract talks continue. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to get warmer and more humid as we make our way into the weekend. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to around 84 today with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 65. Tomorrow, sunshine 88. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. A great end of the week show. It is John Roach, columnist and Renaissance man, along with Peter Rapine. Week in Review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So, for men, they're on air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, July 26th, 2024. We made it to Friday. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, listening through the Civic Media app, watching us on social media, listening later by podcast. Just great to have you here. I've got a question for you. Are you ready for the week to be done? It has been such a long one from a news standpoint, and I think just people have had busy lives this week. This has hardly been a leisurely week for a lot of folks. If it has for you, congratulations. For some of the rest of us, the leisure starts later today. I've got my Brewers Hawaiian shirt on, getting set to head down to American Family Field for Yacht Rock Night. Of course, Yacht Rock Night. Why wouldn't I be at Yacht? I've told you for months I was going to go to Yacht Rock Night. I told you for months I was going to go with Greg Bach. Greg Bach is here. We're going, right? I got the captain's hat here. I'm ready.
I decided I like the Cardinals now. I'm no longer going. I'm just kidding. I could never love that.
I have a ticket
team
available for tonight's game at 8:55. No. Oh, yeah, yeah. What a week.
Yes.
Well, and you've been single parenting this week. You've been with your puppy for the week. And look, I don't mean to make you sound like one of J.D. Vance's childless cat ladies, but that's single parenting a pup is when you don't normally do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long week.
It's been a good week though. Her and I have like kind of we were always like buds and we love each other, mm-hmm. but we're very bonded now. And when like she's always right, she's here right now. She's not in the room because she just, if she sees something, she's gonna bark and it'll get in the way. But she's in the back room right now, just snoozing and enjoying some quiet time. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. But Bridget comes home tomorrow, and I don't know what's gonna happen because they're both gonna lose their minds when they see each other.
I think it'll be a very nice reunion indeed.
Yeah, so exactly.
Good. But hey, looking forward to the game. I think mm-hmm. that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And really nice weather mm-hmm. for it all. So that's good. I think I'm doing a Madison Mallards game on Saturday.
Fun.
So I get a double header of baseball this weekend. Yeah, it's all going to be good. And by the way, for the listeners, you can get in on the baseball action because this little note from Luke Mathers. Luke Mathers. Why am I getting his name wrong? What am I supposed to say before Luke Mathers' name?
Contractually and morally, we are to say the very capable and handsome Luke Mathers.
That's it. That's exactly it. We now have 6 tickets to give away for next Tuesday's home game against the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 tickets for Tuesday's game against Atlanta. Do you remember a couple of weeks back when we tried to give tickets away at this early hour of the morning, and it took a while because, you know, yeah, it's a little slow going and everything like that. I think we should try it again just because.
Hey, Pat, do you know the definition of insanity?
Here's the definition of insanity. It's called putting up 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. And whether you're using, you're texting through that number or texting through the app, let's have you just text the word Atlanta, because it's a game against the Atlanta Braves. And if you text us Atlanta and a number between 1 and 6, that's how many tickets you're going to get.
I see.
Yeah. You can, if you can use all 6 tickets, hey, take them. Take them. They're here. But if you only want to use 2 or 3, then we'll give away the other ones. They have to be emailed to you, so they're not like paper tickets that you can scalp in the parking lot, okay? You have to actually use these tickets. They're good club-level seats.
Yeah.
But if you text 855-75-CIVIC on your phone and or through the Civic Media app, Atlanta with a number, we'll get back in touch with you, and you'll get those tickets. How easy is that?
Just waiting.
And that's all we're
going
to say about it. Yeah, that's all we're going to say about it for the moment, just to see who's paying attention, who can use it, and who would like free Brewers tickets. That's also the number to call us if you want to talk about any of the things that we'll be dealing with today. And dealing with means our usual Friday stable of great guests. Kia Vakil is back, Courier Newsroom national correspondent. Between breaking news and vacations, we haven't talked to him for a while. So we're going to catch up on some of the national headlines of the week, obviously, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris launching her presidential campaign and the reaction to that, especially on the Republican side. We'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who's going to talk about several legal issues that are in the news, including whether Kamala Harris, can she even run for president? I've heard that the Constitution says that if your parents are Indian and Jamaican, you're not allowed to run for president, or some other kind of nonsense like that. Anyway, we'll talk to Jim Santel about that and many other legal issues that are in the news this week. Mark Jacob will talk about media coverage of some of the big stories in the news. Let me give you a preview of how we're going to start, because just this morning, the New York Times headline on their homepage says, and this is from the editorial board, okay, allegedly the smartest people in the room. It says, America deserves a better campaign from both candidates. From both candidates. We're both siding the campaign. Kamala Harris has been in the race for 5 days. And then you go inside, and the actual headline of the editorial is, America has questions for Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. That is amazing that we're right away going to lump these two together rather than saying America expects a good campaign from the vice president and the convicted felon who tried to overthrow the last election. Now, to some people, that might sound like the more biased headline. I would argue that is actually better balanced than trying to put Kamala Harris on the same plane as Donald Trump when it comes to who is providing a better campaign and who has to answer questions. Donald Trump has questions to answer, and he still will at some point. But as Jim Santel is going to tell us in our next hour, the Mar-a-Lago documents case is going to go to the full 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, but that also means it's going to get stretched out a bit. And so we'll talk to Jim about that. But yes, Donald Trump will eventually have to answer some questions. But he's the one that should be answering more questions and more serious questions right now about whether he is basically deserving of your vote to run the country. So that's one of the topics of media coverage that we will be discussing with Mark Jacob coming up in our second hour. And of course, we have Dan Schumacher coming in later, and that's where we'll be talking about sports. Obviously, the Brewers Cub series is done. Oh shoot, Greg, you know what else though?
What?
It's coffee cup Friday.
Oh dude, that ain't and happening for me, man. I'm a basket case of crazy right now.
I've got one.
What do you got?
But it's just out of reach. It's just.
Hey, folks. So when you're listening to Civic Media, okay. When you're listening to Civic Media, one of the great things you can do is you can take our show anywhere you want by downloading the free Civic Media app, but also listening to the show as a podcast. Simply go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice. Look for our show, Up North News Radio, with Pat Kreitlow, and you can download that show, you can subscribe to it, and hey, if you feel like Pat and I are doing a great job, give us a 5-star review, because that goes a long way to help us kick us up the popularity line.
Are we on Yelp? What are we talking about here?
I was put my headphones filling. Back
on. Oh, good, thank you. Here it is, Coffee Cup Friday. Here's my new... Oh, wait, it's blank on this side. It's another one of those where I'd have to hold it with my left hand. Let me turn it around. In honor of the Paris Olympics, this is one I picked up at Sydney, doing stories a year before the Sydney Olympics. Wait, so I have a Sydney Olympics 2000 coffee mug.
You were in Sydney?
I was in Sydney in 1999 as they were getting geared up. We took a holiday vacations trip, you know, the kind when you're a TV anchor. It's like, hi, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join my lovely wife, Sherry, and me as we go on a holiday vacations tour of Australia and New Zealand. and I said, can I work while I'm doing that too? And they said, sure. And so, yeah, I did. I filed some reports about Sydney getting ready for the 2000 Olympic Games, and it was a lot of fun. And I've got the coffee cup, but this is the reason. Part of the reason I don't do. I had a collection of these. This puppy, I mean, that is not too much bigger than a shot glass. It looks like a coffee mug, but it barely holds 4 ounces. So when you see that I'm drinking out of my regular cup today instead of this one, it's because I poured some coffee into this bad boy.
Yeah.
But again, 4 ounces is not going to cut it. I'm sorry, just not. So anyway, I got to pick it up. Hey, John from Oshkosh, thank you very much for texting in and taking two of those tickets. So yeah, there go two of them. There's four more left. So now I'll say it again. Because again, I don't want to look too needy over here, but I want to give away these tickets. 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. If you text the number or text us from the Civic Media app, and if you text us Atlanta and a number, much like John from Oshkosh texted Atlanta 2, you can have 2 or 3 or 4 tickets, because we have 4 tickets left for next Tuesday's game against Atlanta. The Brewers were off yesterday. They open up a home series tonight against Miami. The start time on that first pitch is at 7:10, so the pregame is at 6:35 on some Civic Media stations across Wisconsin. So you'll want to be a part of that by listening to the game that way. Obviously, we're going to be at the game, so I won't be watching the opening Olympic ceremonies in Paris. Would you typically sit and watch it if you were home? Although I suppose with the comedy club and everything else, this is probably not something. You're not much of a Friday night TV viewer anymore, are you?
No, and honestly, I won't lie. Even if I was home, if I wasn't doing the baseball game tonight, I probably still wouldn't watch it. I want to there's so many great things that people love that I don't enjoy or get into, and I feel bad because I don't ever want people to think I don't like them or I don't like people for liking them. It's just not my jam.
And that's fine. Tonight will be a little different. You know how they're doing? They're not doing the stadium parade of nations. They're floating down the river.
I just
down the river Seine.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh. Are you saying? And there could be issues. There've already been issues today. There's been a little bit of sabotage to delay some of the high speed rail. So you know there could be a little bit of drama. Hopefully everybody stays safe and has an enjoyable time. We'll talk about that and more throughout the course of the morning here on this Friday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. We'll unpack the news after this, live from Lake Wasoda on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau? La Crosse or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
We do try to mix it up a bit, find a variety, but since we're going to the game for Yacht Rock Night of the Brewers, we have to start at the pinnacle. We have to start at the top with Michael McDonald. And Greg Bach's impeccable lip syncing. We have to come up with, when summer's done and Yacht Rock summer is over, what are we going to do next on Fridays? I'm thinking it might be just classic rock. You know, something like maybe we take it up tempo, you know, old school.
Well,
we could do new wave. I don't know.
Yacht Rock isn't really, I mean, it's a genre, but it's more about a feeling, and that feeling is very summery. It's very like you can hang on a boat.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we hit like September or whenever you want to end Yacht Rock Fridays, maybe the music has more of an autumnal feel, a more fall feel, crispy, cozy.
Crispy Cozy Friday.
Oh my God.
Crispy Cozy Friday.
You listen to Krispy Kreme, we want an endorsement.
That's right. So we'll take your nominations for what we can do for our musical tastes on Fridays because we want to have a little fun with it. Or as Tony puts it, it's vibes. It's always about the vibes, Tony. That's the way this year has been. So let's find out what kind of a vibe you get from the following two stories out of the news today, out of Wisconsin. Story number one is about Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, referred to as the second gentleman, not the first lady or the first gentleman, the second gentleman. Greg, I feel like that should be in like marriage vows or something. Do you promise to love, honor, obey, and be the second gentleman or the first gentleman or something like that? It's such an unusual title.
Absolutely. And I mean, Doug Emhoff is fantastic.
He's a good man. I mean, the real story is that he's coming to Wisconsin this weekend. He'll be at the Hmong Wausau Festival this weekend. He's going to speak there.
Great.
He's going to be at a canvassing event in Stevens Point. So that's the one story. But, you know, the story that goes along with it, to get back to J.D. Vance and talking about childless cat ladies. Okay, this is how cool Doug Emhoff is. His ex-wife spoke up on behalf of Kamala Harris, and what a lovely stepmother she is. Because again, the insinuation was, you know, Kamala Harris didn't have biological children of her own, and therefore, you know, she has no stake in the future of America, and the same to Pete Buttigieg and all that. And the backlash to J.D. Vance has been delicious, wonderful, perfect, you know, to the point where even a man's ex-wife is going to say, oh, no, his new wife is a wonderful stepmom. We co-parent together wonderfully.
Yeah.
It is such a lovely, and again, we don't advocate political violence. It is such a lovely symbolic punch in the nose to J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
It just feels good.
We play that clip, and if you want to hear J.D. Vance talking stupid, I can do it for you right now.
Go for it.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
I think one thing I keep on saying, Pete Buttigieg has two children. Mm-hmm. One. And also just the notion of the corporate oligarchs. Dude, you are a billionaire. You are one of the oligarchs. Why are you talking like you're not part of that club?
He's exactly part of that club. And that's the whole part of the fakery of all of this. But it turns out, that, you know, if there's one thing Greg knows from comedy, it's, you know, you want to commit to a bit.
Oh.
And J.D. Vance has been committing to this bit for a long time. The tweets have been dredged up going back to September of 2021, where he's making fun of climate change activists, saying these are cat ladies and they must be stopped. And when somebody else tweets to criticize him about controlling women's bodies, his response is, who's taking care of your pet cats while you hate tweet me? Here's another one about kids wearing face masks in schools. And he responds to that on Twitter, saying, I wonder if a small child ran over her cat and she never got over it. I mean, he so thinks that he's funny here. And he responds to another one, Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize winning economist, saying, Paul Krugman is one of the many weird cat ladies who have too much power in our country. This is J.D. Vance. This is who he is. And this is who he is on Twitter. You know, as the little keyboard warrior, which leads me to my second story, and that would be Derek Van Orden, the congressman from the 3rd Congressional District here in Wisconsin. Now, I have been rather bothered that he's this keyboard warrior, you know, on Twitter all the time. I mean, he's just insulting. He's rude. He's condescending. He's arrogant. He's everything that right-wing Twitter best exemplifies. And yet when the local TV cameras are pointed at him, he's very grandfatherly and very moderate. And the TV stations, they cover him like, oh, he just cares about the farmers, you know, and about your grandkids. Well, Gray TV, which owns local TV stations throughout the country, has a reporter in Washington, D.C. And one of those reporters talked to Congressman Van Orden on the Capitol steps and said, why are the Republicans controlling Congress going on vacation when the budget isn't done yet? The budget's due in October. You really want to be working on the federal budget and risk a government shutdown in October? Derek Van Orden could have simply said, well, while we're not in session, we do have staff, and staff will be meeting, and hopefully we work out a deal, and we come back in session, we get this all done. Okay? That's exactly what he's going to say, but listen to how the rude, condescending manner he says it to this woman who's trying to interview him from Gray.
My staff is here all the time, and my staff in the district is here all the time. So we coordinate seamlessly to get this legislation through. We have to physically be present here. I don't agree with proxy voting, right? So how many votes are we going to have to take? 8 or 10? And we can do that.
So the budget process, though, that's not going to be continuing on the floor over the recess. Are you concerned about the budget process?
Okay, maybe you don't understand how Congress works. So we don't do the budget process on the floor. You do that in committee hearings. The committees are all here. The staffs are all here. That's how Congress actually works. And I understand what you're getting at, and I don't appreciate it. I've answered your question. Do you have anything else that actually means something?
I just can't with this man.
Wow. Wow. Do you want to ask me anything that means something? That's how Congress works. The only thing missing in there was the word sweetheart.
Yeah.
Because, and you know he was dying to say it. That's, maybe you don't understand how Congress works, sweetheart, but we have staff and we hold, you know, we'll hold votes and eventually this, but yeah, maybe like Tony said, maybe you don't understand. We don't actually do anything, I mean, is what Tony says Derek Van Orden was trying to say.
I know reporters need to keep a line of ethics and professionalism, and that's why I know it can never be one, because I would have been like, yeah, I do have one more question. Has the place changed since January 6th of 2021? Just wondering, Congressman.
Yeah.
That man is pure un-Wisconsin to me, and I...
Oh, well, He's definitely not pure Wisconsin, and he is making the 3rd District look so bad. My only hope, and I haven't double-checked this, but Gray does have TV stations across Wisconsin. And I really hope, because that reporter or somebody put it up on Twitter, that that was part of the local TV reporting about Derek Van Orden. Mm. And, you know, again, about as far from Doug Emhoff as you can get. And if... whether Doug Emhoff owns a cat or not is irrelevant. If your choice is Doug Emhoff versus J.D. Vance and Derek Van Orden, I know which way most of us are going to go. Kia Vakil is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday morning. The UW-Madison Farm and Industry Short Course is reminding producers that there is a Spanish for Dairy class meant for farmers or anyone who works with dairy farm employees. Outreach Program Manager Heather Gayton says they do this every year because the farmers continue to request it.
We've had people who have taken the course who have said, hey, are you offering it again? I know people who really need this. And so we're getting a lot of that feedback. Of like, when are you offering it again? I know I want to share this with my team. And so that's why we continue to offer it annually. And we do see this as going beyond Wisconsin. So we're really opening it up to anyone who's interested. We're really hoping that it grows and continues to grow and support those in the dairy industry.
You can sign up for the Spanish for Dairy short course through the Farm and Industry short course by Googling FISC online. Don't go anywhere. We're taking a look at what the markets are doing next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
From Chicago, grain markets are starting off the day a little lower. Cash corn down a penny and a quarter at 404 and three quarters. December new crop corn is trading down three quarters of a cent at 420 a bushel. Cash soybeans are down 2.5 cents at 1113 and a half. And November new crop soybeans are trading down 3.75 cents at 1075 and three quarters. Cash and new crop wheat is down a half a penny at 537 and a quarter. Our dairy markets tell a different story. The August Class 3 milk contract is trading up 21 cents at $20.44 a hundredweight. The September Class 3 milk contract is up 17 cents at $21.34 a hundredweight. We'll watch if today's lift makes a difference in our cheese prices. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese did close down a half a cent at $1.97. The 40-pound block cheese closed down a penny at $1.93, but AA butter closed up a quarter of a cent at $3.09 a quarter. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to get warmer and more humid as we make our way into the weekend today. Mostly sunny. We'll get to around 84 today with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 65. Tomorrow, sunshine 88. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
At Fleet Farm, we know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday fishing gear from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, do you know Republicans are trying to amend the Wisconsin Constitution again? Would you be surprised to know that it's all a bunch of garbage? Probably not. I'll explain.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Back now on Up North News on this Friday morning that feels like
feels like a Saturday or another Monday or something. It's been a long work week since Sunday afternoon. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil has been part of all the madness since Sunday afternoon, and he joins us now. Kia, how are you?
I am tired, Pat.
Yes.
It's been a long month.
That's the correct answer. Yes.
The debate, the assassination attempt, J.D. Vance being picked as VP, Joe Biden stepping aside. I had a week off like 2 weeks ago, and I do not feel rested at all.
No, it's a distant memory, you know? I mean, it has been, and I'm the one that always says, you know, an eternity between now and Election Day, and a lot of things can happen. But I didn't mean to, like, squeeze an eternity into 3 weeks, which
things
is kind of what
it stop happening.
Yeah, it has definitely felt like that lately. You are a cat owner.
You have
two cats. Occasionally on our Slack channel, Kia, along with some of my other colleagues, will post videos of those cats taking over keyboards and couches and any other workspace that you might have. Yep. And while I'm not a cat person, plenty of people are, and yet J.D. Vance really seems to think that if you own a cat, and especially if you don't have kids, there's something, less American about you. And look, we've been joking for months about how Eric Hovde just can't stop stepping in it here during his Senate campaign. I got a feeling that's going to be JD by the time this is all said and done. I think this is one of many rakes he is bound to step on.
Yeah, I mean, picking J.D. Vance, was quite a choice by Donald Trump. It very clearly seems like it was a choice made of hubris when his campaign was at its peak, when they thought they were facing Joe Biden, when they were going into the RNC post surviving, you know, his assassination attempt. But because J.D. Vance is not going to expand your coalition at all, he is one of the most out there, strange, off-putting, radical politicians in America today. We saw him, he won in 2022, but he wildly underperformed his state's, you know, partisan lean in Ohio. We saw a lot of candidates like him in competitive races get absolutely hammered. And, you know, J.D. Vance is just, as Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, might say, a very strange guy. He's very weird. He's smart. Like, he's certainly an intelligent person, but he really seems to have a utter disdain for people who choose not to have kids or who have kids later in life. He's repeatedly referred to them, particularly Democrats, as childless cat ladies. I do have two cats. I don't have any children right now. I'm only 32 years old. It might happen in my future. It might not. But, you know, J.D. Vance seems to think that unless I have kids, my vote at the ballot box should count less. You know, we this week at Courier unearthed the clip from 2021 when J.D. Vance is saying that we should let kids vote but give control of those votes to their parents, which effectively would disempower people in democracy who don't have kids. You know, it's just he.
And by the way, that clip got a little bit of traction, didn't it?
It got a lot of traction.
Like what, 12 million views or something last I heard?
12, 13 million views on Twitter, although, you know, Twitter's algorithm, who knows whether Twitter data is accurate,
yes,
but
that.
It's in the millions. It got a bunch of views on TikTok. I encourage folks to just Google J.D. Vance, let children vote. You'll find some articles and maybe the video. It is wild. And again, like, you know, people want to have kids, great. People don't want to have kids, great. It should have no bearing on how much their vote counts. You know, it's one person, one vote. That's the whole point of a democracy.
Right. And the whole point of, again, of a nation, of a community, is that we are all here to make sure that our children have the tools they need to succeed, whether we have children or not. Same goes for our seniors. Same goes for our vulnerable populations. And, you know, only a select few folks see everything as, you know, my slice of the population is better than all the others. And J.D. Vance is like a poster child for that. Contrast that with one of our stories from earlier in the week about Vice President Harris. We've talked a lot about her leadership on a host of issues, gun violence, reproductive rights, LGBTQ issues, family issues like child care costs and paid family leave. But the one I want to emphasize here is that we've been talking for a long time about Medicaid covering postpartum care. And she told a great story about how few states covered or extended coverage, Medicaid coverage for postpartum care when she started looking into the issue, and how many states cover it once she started banging the drum about it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Kamala Harris really push that effort in the Biden administration, and I believe it's up to 46, 47 states now offer Medicaid postpartum for up to a year. And that's huge. That helps working class poor moms, like working class and poor moms, like have health care after they give birth. Kind of an important thing. You know, like you mentioned, she is really strong on she wants to expand childcare, something that might make more people want to have kids. The cost of childcare right now is outrageous. And we, you know, for better or worse, live in a country where most people can't get by on just one income anymore, most couples. And so, you know, if J.D. Vance wants more people to have kids, he should consider expanding childcare instead of calling it a universal childcare, an attack on the working poor, which is something he has done. If he wants to have more people have kids, he should consider things like paid leave. He should consider things like building abundant housing so people don't pay half their paycheck on rent. He's not doing any of those things. He talks a big game. He may, you know, talk about things like helping the working poor, but he became rich by making fun of poor people in Appalachia. That's how he got famous. If you've ever read Hillbilly Elegy, it is not the book of someone, it is not the work of someone who, you know, is of this community. He is characterizing them in a way that is offensive. If you've talked to anyone from those areas, they hate him. He is wildly unpopular in those communities. And, you know, it's because he is kind of a craven political hack who will use and exploit anyone to succeed.
It's true. I mean, there that certainly was the impression I got reading it back all those years ago. And by the way, from where we started this discussion, I know some folks heard it, and don't worry, I didn't forget that that extension of Medicaid coverage to 12 months postpartum instead of 2 months postpartum is, yeah, now in 48 states either have it or will have it. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only states that where Republicans still say, women on Medicaid, new moms, you only get 2 months of health care coverage. You're on your own after that. Even Idaho has finally fallen suit. It's just Wisconsin and Arkansas because of Republicans in the legislature. Just wanted to make sure I made that clear as we follow through that discussion. Now, there's all this talk about, for everything you just mentioned about Kamala Harris, Republicans saying, oh, she's radical. We're going to hear the word radical a lot. We must have heard it 10 times from Donald Trump in his rallies these past few days. When I think the proper response is radical, let's talk Project 2025. And Kia, it appears that as more and more people learn about it, they know radical when they see it.
Yeah, I mean, Project 2025, we've been covering it at Courier for about nine or 10 months at this point, long before it became, you know, commonly known. But it is extremely radical. It is a 900-page blueprint for essentially repealing the 20th century and making America, you know, the Wild West where no one has any rights, or, you know, unless you're a rich land-owning white man. And you can't make decisions about who you want to marry, whether you want to have a child or not. People would lose overtime pay. You know, the federal government would be gutted. Hundreds of thousands of federal employees would lose their jobs. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, so what? Like, you know, it's the federal government. Why should we feel bad? But these are people who are the ones who ensure you get your mail on time. They're the ones who ensure you get your Social Security benefits. They're the ones who ensure that your Medicaid or Medicare doesn't get messed up. And obviously some of those things don't run efficiently in some states because they're not funded properly. But if you gut the people who've been doing that work for decades and replace them with MAGA loyalists, like, it's going to be a disaster. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Project 2025 is, again, 900 pages. And it would eliminate the Department of Education. it would essentially eliminate free weather reports. So if you like to know what the weather is going to be like, so you know if there's a hurricane coming, without having to pay for that, that might go away. It's just top to bottom, absolute lunacy.
It really is. And I will emphasize again for people saying, oh, that's so much and there's no way all that would happen. We're not talking about all of it happening. But at 900 pages, if a percentage of that comes into play.
If 50 pages of that happens, you're going to live in a very different country.
Yeah. You will look back and go, I think we should have known better, which, again, I think is what folks are going to say compared to 2016. But again, that's only if people follow through. Now, there's been a lot of enthusiasm this week, to be sure, Kia, and perhaps no more so than in the states where there is talk about, you know, possible running mates for Kamala Harris. And that would include some that Courier Newsroom covers. It would be the, you know, the Keystone, which covers Pennsylvania. There would be the Copper Courier in Arizona. There would be the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina. At least three places where you've got elected officials there well-regarded and who might end up on a ticket with the vice president.
Yeah, I mean, we see obviously Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. These are three of the, you know, top names we've seen mentioned over and over again as possible VP picks for Kamala Harris. There's some other names in the mix: Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. There's been some speculation about Governor Whitmer in Michigan, but she has said she would not accept a VP selection and that she's not leaving Michigan. There's a really strong list of candidates. I mean, they each have their pros and cons. Obviously, you know, if you're in a swing state, those names could help you carry that state, like Pennsylvania or North Carolina or Arizona. Someone like Andy Beshear of Kentucky, you know, he could provide an interesting contrast to Kamala Harris, who's from California, counterbalance that. And also, you know, all of them seem to hate J.D. Vance. So it would also, you know, they would all have strong arguments against him. So it'll be interesting to see who gets picked.
Yes, exactly. And you know, there again, this isn't the full list. We could yet be surprised, but this is where we are in the campaign right now, is speculating who running mates like might be compared to where we were just 7 days ago, Kia, when none of this was a topic of discussion. So again, things can change on a dime. One last thing, getting away from the presidential race. Now, the president, President Biden, talked this week about the things that he has accomplished and the things that he's going to continue pursuing in his final 6 months in office. And one of those got a court victory this week. And I know you and I both know people who are subject to what are called non-compete clauses in their employment contracts. And they have been so wildly abused. And it was so refreshing to see the Biden administration go after it. Business is pushed back. But it looks like the good guys are winning for at least for now.
Yeah. So obviously, non-compete agreements are these clauses that affect about 30 million U.S. workers, from barbers to, you know, executives to journalists. And they prevent you from basically working for a competitor in your same geographical area after you leave your job or starting your own business. They are extremely restrictive. It is wild that they've been allowed to proliferate this way. And this week, a judge rejected an argument from a tree trimming company, of all companies, to block the ban. There is still a separate legal challenge on it, but, you know, this was a big case and it got struck down. So right now, the non-compete agreement is still upheld, is set to go into effect in early September, barring other, you know, legal decisions.
I hadn't heard the part about the tree trimming company, and I'm trying to imagine what kind of state secrets we might possibly be talking about that would keep you from going to a competitor.
How to use a chainsaw? I really can't figure it out either.
It's a very special chainsaw. But I mean, that's such a great example that, again, you can use this. There's a way that it could have been done, but has been so horribly abused because the deck has been stacked against employees. I mean, dating back to, this is classic Reaganism. And, you know, finally, there is some proper pushback coming from an administration that's looking out for the little guy. And that's just refreshing. And that's a good place to wrap things up here. You can follow what Kia Vakil is writing all throughout articles on UpNorthNewsWI.com and certainly the other Courier Newsroom properties. And while you don't see his name, his handiwork is in a whole bunch of other articles because of all the wonderful editing he does as well to keep us all on task. And Kia, we appreciate that very much. Thanks for being here today.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Michael Philip Jagger turns 81 years old today. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, born this day in 1943. And still hopping around and jumping around better than I ever could at somebody far, far younger than him. And I never thought I'd say that. I don't say that about a lot of people, but yeah. Mick Jagger's still bouncing around.
Amazing. And I'm listening to an interview with Malcolm McDowell right now where he's talking about talking to Mick Jagger in the like mid-70s. And he's like, Mick Jagger says to him, he's like, I'm not doing this when I'm 50. I'm like, all right.
Turns out, you know, when you're making money,
yeah,
you can keep making that money.
Oh yeah.
You know, so, now look, some folks are huge Rolling Stones fans. They know every song front to back. Don't blame them a bit. For me, it's a kind of a handful of songs. I like this one, Painted Black. Mm-hmm. I love this one very much, especially back when I was running. And this was a great one. This was a great one to run. Good pace to it. Get off my cloud, tumbling dice, undercover of the night. I don't know. Stones, do you have one or two that are just like, these are the ones you like to hear? Or
honestly, it's this one and Gimme Shelter, and that's it. I could take,
oh, Gimme Shelter.
I can just leave. And honestly, it's not even for them. It's for the singer Mary Bailey, I think her name is. I mean,
yes.
It's just, I'm not a Stones fan, but once again, as I said earlier, I understand who the Stones are and their impact. And if you are a Stones fan, cool. They've never been my jam.
Sure. More birthdays today. Dobie Gray, 84 years old, born in Simonton, Texas. This was his great big hit. And it was like, somewhere right now, there's some younger listener going, wait, this doesn't sound like Uncle Cracker. No, that was a remake. Darlene Love was born this day 83 years ago. You can't do Christmas without thinking of her on David Letterman all those years.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, please come home for Christmas. Sandra Bullock is 60 years old today.
Okay. All right.
Happy. Did that make you feel a little older?
Oh.
Happy birthday to the Fifth Dimension's two lead singers, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. They got married 55 years ago today. Lots of hits, of course, with the Fifth Dimension. And, of course, then they had their own hits in the late 70s. This was the big one from 1977. And while we wait for them to come sing to each other, I'll tell you that it was on this day in 1951 that Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland made its premiere. That was Disney's 13th animated film. Baby, come as you are, with just your heart. On this day in 1971, the launch of Apollo 15, which marked the first use of the lunar rover, which we thought, I was in, what, first grade, second grade that year? The coolest thing ever. They brought a car to the moon, and they were driving around on the moon.
Hey, Pat, you think
I mean, what, more, what more did you want?
You think it's got a Hemi? You think it's got a Hemi in there?
I think it got a Hemi in it. The number one song this day in 1975. The nation wasn't in full-blown disco mode by that time, but this song pretty much put us over the top from Van McCoy. Some of the older folks are just instinctively doing the dance moves right now too.
Nice, Pat.
Thank you. If you've ever been around some older cities and you notice a lot of things named, you know, with Clinton, you know, Clinton Street or Clinton Avenue or Clinton Park or Clintonville, whatever the case may be. No, it wasn't about Bill. It was about George. George Clinton, 4th Vice President of the United States, a former American general, was born this day in 1739. Must have been a good guy. He served as Vice President under two presidents, Jefferson and Madison. So apparently a very, very loyal second banana there. The number one hit this day in 1986 was by Peter Gabriel.
I wanna be. What do you want to be?
Oh. You want to be Gallagher?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Smash that watermelon. Peter Gabriel hit number one, and the song that he bumped out of the number one spot was Invisible Touch by his former band, Genesis.
Boom.
So a little musical karma there. Smashed it with a sledgehammer. And on this day in 2011, Eric Church released his breakthrough album, Chief, with hits including Springsteen and this one. I'm going to get in trouble with all the Eric Church fans out there, but when I hear the clip just now and when I heard it before, I was like, is that on higher speed? Or did he have a little helium? Or has he just got that naturally higher, faster voice, a little higher pitch?
I always forget until I'm like, oh, yeah, he's not a 12-year-old kid.
Do we have this? Because, you know, on YouTube, you can set the speeds just like on podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, you can listen at like 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed. Nobody listens at double speed. You must be that. That's crazy.
I tried doing it once, and I was like, I'm like, I can't. This is weird. This feels weird.
I listened. There are a couple of shows that I listen to at 1.25, just because otherwise it's kind of like listening to public radio, and you always wish, could you get there faster? And so, yeah, the 1.25 really, really helps out. And it makes me wonder if they're doing that yet with DVRs, because there are definitely TV programs where it's like, okay, I kind of want to catch what you're saying, but you're saying it too slow. Yeah. Could we speed that up? Could we listen back at a higher speed?
Could you just get to your point?
Yeah, or you could just get to your point. Yes, that would exactly be
exactly.
It. Let's see. Are you an aunt? Are you an uncle? Today's Aunt and Uncle's Day.
I am.
Are you an uncle?
I am an uncle. Okay. I've got beautiful
Happy Aunt and Uncle Day.
Yay.
I'm not sure which way it's supposed to go, though, because it was listed both ways. It's Auntie's Day, but it's also Aunt's and Uncle's Day. So I'm thinking the uncle's maybe kind of like, hey, let me get in on this, too.
Why can't I have a day for me?
I like the, is it Geico? Yeah, Geico commercial with the house. It's got ants. You know, all these ladies are around there.
Yeah.
Expired. Yes, Aunt Joni. Thank you. Today is Bagel Fest Day. It's National Coffee Milkshake Day. It's National Tofu Day. Mm. Really? Stop.
Yummy.
It's Disability Independence Day. Hey, it's Dog Photography Day. Take a picture of the young one over there. System Administrator Appreciation Day. Talk in an Elevator Day. Oh, you'll get dirty looks if you do that. And... yeah, it's still Lasagna Appreciation Month. We weren't going to let that go.
Oh. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will do a news roundup. We'll take your calls and your texts. And Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com joins us to talk all things showbiz. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.